worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 147, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord. How good to sing praises to our God. How delightful and how fitting. The Lord is rebuilding Jerusalem and bringing the exiles back to Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. He counts the stars and calls them all by name. How great is our Lord! His power is absolute. His understanding is beyond comprehension. The Lord supports the humble, but he brings the wicked down into the dust. Sing out your thanks to the Lord. Sing praises to our God with a harp. He covers the heavens with clouds, provides rain for the earth, and makes the grass grow in mountain pastures. He gives food to the wild animals and feeds the young ravens when they cry. He takes no pleasure in the strength of a horse or in human might. No, the Lord's delight is in those who fear him, those who put their hope in his unfailing love. Glorify the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he has strengthened the bars of your gates and blessed your children within your walls. He sends peace across your nation and satisfies your hunger with the finest wheat. He sends his orders to the world. How swiftly his word flies. He sends the snow like white wool. He scatters frost upon the ground like ashes. He hurls the hail like stones. Who can stand against his freezing cold? Then at his command, it all melts. He sends his winds and the ice thaws. He has revealed his words to Jacob, his decrees and regulations to Israel. He has not done this for any other nation. They do not know his regulation. They do not know his regulations. Praise the Lord. All of Psalm 147. Then looking in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 16. One day as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And instantly it left her. Her master's hopes of wealth were now shattered. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. "The whole city is in an uproar because of these Jews," they shouted to the city officials. "They are teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice." A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundation. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself! We are all here!" The jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household." And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his house and set a meal before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. Verses 16 to 34, Acts chapter 16. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the wonderful privilege you give us to be able to know you, to be able to walk with you, to be able to serve you each and every day. Thank you for the privilege and the blessing of being able to live a life of thanksgiving, worship, and praise. And Lord, I thank you for the fact that you teach us in your word that it's always appropriate, it's always right for us to give thanks. You told us in your word, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In every situation, every circumstance, it's right for us to give thanks. It's right for us to worship and praise you. You told us also, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Lord, anoint us afresh with the spirit of thanksgiving, praise, rejoicing, and worship. Empower us to be the worshiping church you called us to be. Help us to grow our understanding of the fact that there's so much growth and blessing that comes to our lives as we live a lifestyle of worship, but also that worship is also a weapon that we can use for victory as we learn to navigate this life, looking to you, walking with you, trusting you, swimming in the river of your Holy Spirit. We thank you and praise you for the privilege of being able to thank, worship, and praise you all day, every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We appreciate you being a part of our listening family. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I just want to ask that you teach us more how to worship. Father, I know that worship is going on in the throne room right now. And Father, I know that Jesus, when he taught us how to pray, he said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Father, I ask that you'd bring your worship here, that we would be your hands and feet, and that we would be your voice of worship, and that we would worship your name and all your good deeds. Father, you didn't just tell us you loved us. Father, you showed us you loved us through action, through Jesus, through his life, and through his death, and through his resurrection. So Father, I ask that we just take time to appreciate you and to rest in your presence and to be with you in celebrating all the good things you have done. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We are very honored to have as our guest one more time, Pastor Kyle Holder. He's the worship leader at Christ Methodist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. And actually, he wears quite a few other hats as well, but we're going to introduce him and let him further introduce himself to you. Kyle, good to have you once again.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Privileged to have you. And again, had the privilege of meeting you just a few months ago. The first time, I believe, was when we went to a workshop that you did at an event. And thank you again just for the fact that you let the Lord use you as the great and gifted teacher that you are. But would you further introduce yourself, both tell us more about the work of a worship leader at Christ Methodist? Because on the one hand, many people might think, well, everybody knows what a worship leader is. No, they don't. Some people might wonder, what in the world is a worship leader? But also, we want you to tell us about the work you do as an instructor at Visible Music College in Memphis, Tennessee as well.
Wonderful. Yeah, well, thank you again for the opportunity to be here and to do so. It's a pleasure to do it. So, yes, I'm Kyle Holder. I am the worship pastor at Christ Methodist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. I have the great privilege to work under Pastor Paul Lawler there and get to lead a culture of worship musicians and singers and audio technicians and all of those people that work on those teams. And it really is a privilege. And what most people think of, I think, when they hear a worship leader is they just think the guy or girl that's standing up in the middle of the stage with either an acoustic guitar or a piano and they're singing the songs. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you, my mandate at Christ Methodist is not to be boxed into that being me all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's such a privilege and a blessing, because what I actually get to do is truly build a culture, not a band, but build a culture of people who are in many different ways gifted musically and spiritually to lead God's people in praise and worship and adoration of him in the midst of our congregation. So what I actually get to do is empower many people to mm-hmm. express their worship through a guitar, a drum kit, vocally. And then beyond just the gift of the musicianship, then coming into a place of understanding that no matter what instrument you play or if you sing, you are leading people. And so I get to empower people to understand that that's what they're doing. And I get to see many people, not just me, mm-hmm. step into that role of leading the people in the praise and adoration of Jesus in our midst there at the church.
God, would you take a moment now specifically to pray for our listeners that they would really hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say through them? Because probably many people, they will simply grow in their understanding of what it means to worship God. But then there's some listening who, they may very well be called to be a worship leader of sorts in their church, or if not the main worship leader in a church. But then again, it's important to know this. I recall listening to an individual who, someone would go on the job and eventually someone referred to them as something along this line, that's the worship lady. In other words, mm-hmm. her lifestyle was one of worshiping and praising God, and people picked up on it on their job. So would you pray for people to receive what the Lord wants to receive today?
Amen. Father, we come to you and we ask just that. Lord, would you give all of us ears to hear, hearts to understand, minds to perceive what you are speaking to us in this time, knowing that when you speak and when we hear, that it is never just for our benefit. It is always unto your glory. So, Lord, help us to hear, not only to hear, but to understand and discern and to obey what you call us to do when you speak. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I think the more specific term was, that's the praise the Lord lady. I think that's what they call this particular lady. So, but any believer, any person knows Christ, they're a vessel that the Holy Spirit can use.
Amen.
And we're to live in such a way that the fire of the Holy Spirit burns brighter and brighter through our words, our actions, our lifestyle. So that's an important goal. So just powerful to consider that. You know, I think of this too. In some ways, this is something I believe to be true. In some ways, John the Baptist was like a worship leader preparing the people for Christ's mm-hmm. coming, you know.
Yeah.
And I think in many ways that's sort of what worship leaders often do. They're preparing people to better receive the word that will be coming during the service, amongst other things. Of course, worship is much more than that as well.
Yeah.
But I think we're wise to always seek to grow in understanding, what does it mean to worship God?
Pray.
Obviously, it's thanksgiving and praise, singing songs of praise. But at the same time, we can worship God. I think Father Lawrence would worship God washing dishes.
Amen. You know,
worship God in so many different ways, though. So, but any other thoughts that come to your mind about how important it is for believers to understand what worship really means?
Yeah, I think, you know, we talked about this last time I was on, but I think one of the things that I always go back to is that worship is so much more than a song. It's so much more than a praise or an exaltation. It is a posture of obedience to the Lord. To worship is to maintain this posture, to be surrendered to the Spirit, that we would have a posture that when God speaks, we respond with obedience, and that's worship.
Amen. Amen. We're grateful to have with us in studio today Pastor Kyle Holder. And on coming out of the break, we're going to be listening to a song that he wrote entitled Holy. We'll be right back.
crafted with hands of mercy and grace. Grace that is stronger, hands that overcome, washing my sin away in your blood. You are holy, holy, holy. All the angels bow down before you. All the elders cast their crowns, singing.
Music of Kyle Holder, the song simply entitled Holy. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. And it's our privilege to have with us in studio today the author of that song, Kyle Holder. Kyle, what would you like, what's on your heart to share with our listeners about the message behind that song?
Yeah, man. Thank you for the opportunity to do that. Thank you for playing the song. The message I want people to take away from listening to that song is that when we behold God as he is and who we are in light of that, our response is simply just like the response of what the third verse of that song says. I'm on my knees. that when we behold God, that we are undone in his presence, and that he is worthy of our praise and adoration just because he is who he says he is. Not even what he's done for us, but because he is exactly who he claims to be, that he's worthy.
Thank you for sharing that. Kyle, I want to share a passage of scripture that has a unique role of putting the weapon of worship to work in the lives of followers of the Lord. And I want to ask you to share just your thoughts and insights from the passage. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 20, picking up at verse 1. After this, the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Midianites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They are already at Hazazon Tamar." This was another name for En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard in the temple of the Lord. He prayed, "O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. O our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name." They said, "Whenever we are faced with any calamity such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. And now see what the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You would not let our ancestors invade these nations when Israel left Egypt. So they went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us, for they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help." As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite who was a descendant of Asaph. He said, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you." Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed." After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang: "Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever." At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. And for time reasons, we'll just stop it right there. But a powerful story and a unique story that, amongst other things, points out the importance of listening to God and the importance of praise and worship in the lives of God's people. But thoughts that come to your mind about a story like that?
Man, the thing that strikes me about that passage is that it gives us an example for how we ought to live. And that is that we maintain a posture of worship through all things, but that it is not a response. It comes before, it permeates throughout, and it's a response. We worship before we move. We worship as we move, and we worship in response to whatever the outcome may be. Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing, as much as we love to hear we're the head and not the tail, as much as we love to speak these positive things of Scripture, you know, I've lost a daughter, and God still calls me and called me to worship in the hearing that there was a lack of a heartbeat at a checkup. Mm. He wanted me and desired that I worship him instead of giving into anxiety and giving into despair as we were confirming what we feared. And then there was the need and the necessity of that I would still worship him in response to an outcome that broke my spirit. So whether the battle ends the way we want it to, mm-hmm, or not, or somewhere in between, we are called to approach situations first with worship. We address the problem with worship. We allow worship to carry through however it plays out, and it is our response regardless of the outcome. Because I found myself in the midst of that, the worst time of my life, that God still very gently and lovingly, but still asked me the question, am I worthy? Mm. And my response was genuinely, it was, I don't understand how you can even ask me that right now, but yes, you're worthy. And you're worthy because I have a sure and steadfast hope, like an anchor for the soul, mm-hmm, that I know that as Scripture says, that when we meet him face to face with unveiled faces, we will be like him as we see him face to face. That was the reality that my daughter awoke to. Mm-hmm. It was the first thing she ever saw with her own redeemed eyes. She never opened her human eyes, but her first thing that she saw with redeemed eyes was the face that the song we just listened to on the break talks about: eyes like fire, hair like lamb's wool, face shining like the sun. Mm-hmm. That's that.
Mm. Would you pray for listeners to grow in their understanding of the importance of just leaning into that, leaning into a lifestyle of worship?
Yeah. Father, we ask that you would help us to be a people that understand that worship is our way of life. It is not just a thing that we do, but it is a posture that we maintain towards you. Father, help us to see and know and understand that it is by worshiping you that we cling to the hope that you give us, that we cling to you, that like the desperate woman with the issue of blood, that when we reach out and cling to your garment, we know and trust that we will see you move. Lord, no matter the outcome, Lord, help us to be a people that understand that worship is our lifeline. that causes us to cling to the one who carries us from glory to glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Father, I do thank you for your Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of worship. And thank you for how that, amongst other things, he's a fire at work within us. Father, Lord, set us on fire afresh with the Spirit of praise and worship. Cause that Spirit to burn brightly upon us so that more and more we'll learn how better and better to live a lifestyle of worship and praise to you. And Lord, thank you for how that it's a wonderful and a powerful weapon. In a world where there's so much turmoil, there's storms going all around us. Sometimes the storms are in our own lives, in the lives of our marriages, in the lives of our families, in our communities, our state, our nation, our world. But Lord, you're bigger than all those storms. Empower us to be more and more people who know how to worship and praise you in the midst of those, and thus see the victory that comes as we learn to live that kind of lifestyle. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest today is Pastor Kyle Holder, the worship pastor of Christ Methodist Church, Memphis. We'll be right back. Holder, the song Holy. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Kyle Holder is our in-studio guest today. And Kyle, I want you to tell our listeners about Visible School, Visible Music College.
Yes, I have the great privilege to be on staff at a wonderful place right in the heart of Memphis, Tennessee, called Visible Music College. Visible is an accredited college that was started by the original guitar player and founding member and songwriter of Skillet. His name is Dr. Ken Stortz. So he left the road in the year 1999, felt called by the Lord based on what he saw playing all these festivals and these concerts. He saw two types of people. There were people that were very devout and sincere in their faith and their doctrine, and then a lot of those people weren't as gifted musically, but then he would see people that were highly gifted, highly talented musically, but maybe their depth of their doctrine or their understanding of the faith wasn't there. So he felt like God called him to come off the road and start a college, an institution that would train the coming generations to be excellent in both. And so Visible Music College started in the year 2000 with a one-year certificate program, and then developed over the years into being able to have the capacity to be a fully accredited bachelor degree offering institution. And today we currently offer a online certificate program, an in-person one-year certificate program, a full bachelor's degree for every major from worship leadership to songwriting, individual instrument majors, music business, music production, media, and ministry. And we also have a master's program that offers degrees in those areas as well. And that's all operating from the main hub of our campus in the heart of Memphis, Tennessee. And it's just a wonderful place where people can come and not just be educated, but from the very moment they set foot on the campus, they are being given opportunities to go and do exactly what they want to do with their degree from day one. They're in a band. If they're a music business major, they're managing a band. If they are a production major, they're mixing live. They are doing recordings and mastering and producing in the studio. If they're doing media or ministry, they're immediately getting plugged in with opportunities to create content for the college itself, parachurch organizations, the church they attend, the social media accounts of their friends that are at the college or the social media accounts of the college itself. And so it's really, truly a special place. And while there are many places that do pieces of those things in their own institutions, I truly believe that Visible Music College is unique, that we are the one college that offers all of that in one place. And not only offers it all in one place, but then those individual focuses and majors, they're working together from day one. So you have media people who are creating content for bands that are formed the first week of the college, and a music business major that is managing that band that's being formed in the band's class from the very first week of the college, getting them opportunities to go play in venues in the local Memphis area in the Mid-South. And so it truly is this living, breathing representation of what the industry can be when you let creatives that love Jesus and have a heart for the kingdom of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, have the reins and see what the music industry, that industry can look like when you let kingdom empowered creatives have the opportunity to lead. It's a truly special place. And so my role there is I get to lead the worship collective. I teach some classes. Specifically, one of the classes that I love to teach there is I get the honor of teaching the spiritual formation class every year. But one of the truly special things I get to do is lead Visible Worship Collective, which is a extension of the overall culture of worship of the college that seeks to share the gospel through the artistry of staff, students, and alumni coming together in discipleship to see God use them in live music, live praise and worship, recorded music, and just going out and sharing that with the world.
Well, if someone listening is thinking they want to learn more about the school, or they're thinking, I want to go become a student, you know, how could they do that?
Absolutely. Please go to visible.edu. Enroll today or just request some more information. We would love to talk with you. You can actually reach out to me personally, Kyle, K-Y-L-E, at visible.edu. I'd love to talk with you.
Or if maybe someone listening maybe has a son, a daughter, a grandson, granddaughter that they could reach out on their behalf or just tell them about it as well then.
Absolutely. Please do. We would love for you to do that. Again, my email is kyle@visible.edu. I would love to talk with you and put you in touch with someone that can get you enrolled.
Would you pray for listeners to really prayerfully consider the things you shared as it relates to the school? Because, you know, I think of this, that the fact is, God has so many wonderful callings he places on people's lives. But sometimes people, for lack of knowledge or understanding about how you go about doing things, may never step out into their calling.
Yeah.
You know, would you pray for those listeners?
Yes. Father, I pray for everyone under the sound of our voices. Father, I know there are people listening who you are calling them to step out and step into the the creativity and the artistry that you have gifted them with. And Lord, I know that for many of them, Visible is the place where they can be fostered and trained and sent out to do so. So, Father, I pray that you would bring wisdom and clarity. Father, help them to just take the first step, reaching out, contacting me with an email or calling the college or clicking the enroll now button on visible.edu. Lord, I pray for that act of faith and obedience, Lord, that they would put their yes on the table and allow you to do amazing things with their yes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kyle. You know, if somebody listening is thinking to themselves, well, I think I want to be the worship leader of a church just like Kyle and work at a school like Visible. How did you swing that, if they were to ask that?
How did I swing that? Man, honestly, it was, first of all, I'm an alumni of the college, so I had an in into the arena. But really, I just had hit a season of life where I was, you know, I was doing things that I knew I was called to do, but I just, there was a frustration in me that felt like a holy frustration. It wasn't anger. It was, God, I know there's something different that I'm supposed to be doing. Help me. And I shared that with a brother named Matt Koss, who has been a mentor to me for, you know, gosh, coming up on like 15 years. And he said, well, man, it's interesting you mentioned that to me. I've got a meeting with Dr. Ken Sorts tomorrow. And man, it was just wild. Just the testimony of that was he walked into a meeting and Ken was actually promoting him in that meeting and said, do you have any idea of who could do the job you just got done doing? And so he said, what? He said, Ken. He said, you're not going to believe this. He said, but Kyle, he said, I literally just talked to him on the phone and we were talking about how we believe that this is the time God needs to bring him back to Memphis, like, and to be a part of what's going on here. Mm-hmm. And so, man, that just opened the door. We saw so much confirmation through that we moved from North Carolina to Memphis. And then within months, there would just became a vacancy in the leadership of what used to be called Visible Worship. Mm-hmm. And so he gave me the opportunity to take the reins of that and lead that and rework it, rebrand it, reestablish it as a culture and not just a band. Mm-hmm. And then months later, we were in the office of Pastor Paul Lawler at Christ Church. And there was just a conversation that just, it felt like such a weight in the spirit of this conversation. Mm-hmm. And Pastor Paul let us know that there was a search going on for a worship pastor. And when he described what they were looking for and the mentality they were looking for and who was going to take that role, the Holy Spirit in me was just like, that's you. And I was like, but how? I'm full-time at the college. How could that be me? That's not me. Come on, Holy Ghost. Like, that's, what are you talking about? And man, I a few weeks later, God had just orchestrated it to where I was leading at the Asbury Chapel service because Christ Church is a satellite campus of Asbury Seminary. And so I'm leading worship there, and it just so happened, Brother Chris Carter, who was at the time was the associate pastor there, mm-hmm. and he came up to me and he said, so when can you start working here? And I just said, okay, you know what, Lord, I'm just going to let you take care of this. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. I said, you know, Pastor Chris, I said, I'd be open to a solution where I could be part-time at Visible and part-time here. And man, the Lord just took it from there and here we are. Mm-hmm. And I get to do both and it's exciting. I love what I get to do.
That's a powerful story and really appreciate you sharing it because the Holy Spirit, he knows how to orchestrate everything so beautifully, so wonderfully, and in a way where people wonder, how in the world did that happen? Only God can do that kind of thing. But thank you so much, Kyle. Again, if someone wants to get in touch with you one more time, how can they get in touch with you?
Yes, absolutely. You can find me on social media at Kyle Holder Music. That's at Kyle Holder Music on Instagram. You can reach out to me there. Give me a follow. Shoot me a message. You can also find me at kyle@visible.edu or kyleholdermusic@gmail.com. Reach out to me in any of those ways. I'd love to talk with you.
All right. Thanks so much. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you know you have never invited Jesus Christ into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a wonderful day, a great day to be saved, to fully commit your heart and life to the Lord. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and I've done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, today, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey you daily. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you committed your life to Christ then and prayed that prayer, we want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We would like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please get in touch with us. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We hope to hear from you. Kyle, thanks so much for being with us. And one more time, one email if someone wants to get in touch with you.
Yep, you can email me at either kyle@visible.edu or kyleholdermusic@gmail.com. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being with us. Thanks for listening, and join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.